How's it going, everyone? It is once again me, Chewy, one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And I am once again joined by the awesome Belle. How's it going, Belle?
It's going pretty good. How about you?
Tired. Yeah, we started doing inventory at work today and it's not fun, so my brain is kind of swollen right now.
That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta count everything in the store and it's gonna take us maybe about 3 or 4 days, so yeah.
Y'all have that much stuff?
I'm not happy because I have to go into work on Monday and I'm normally off on Monday, so it's disappointing.
But at least it's a bigger paycheck. Gotta look at the positives.
Well, no, because as soon as we're done, they're gonna give me the next day off, so
Oh, I see.
yeah, so if we're done by like
Well,
Tuesday, I'll be out Wednesday. If we're done on Wednesday, I'll be out on Thursday, so yeah. It's okay, I guess. But anyhow, I don't think people are here to listen to my woes from work. So let's go ahead and remind them, Bill, before we tell them what the movie that we're talking about is, that they can find us on social media. People, you can look us up on linktree.com/myths behind LGDS. You can find all of our links to all of our social media. We have presence on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, etc. So do find us under. If you wanna get a hold of us, if you wanna keep up with our shenanigans, by all means, like, share, subscribe, whatever it is you gotta do, do it. Do it now.
Yes, please.
All right, Bill, so what movie are we ask or are we gonna talk about? Sorry.
Fresh.
Chan chan chan. And this one was your idea.
Yes. So I watched this while I was working because I have to watch something. I have to have something else going on in my life while I'm working for some odd reason. And as I'm watching this, I started like putting the, I'm like, hold on, one second, one moment. I can pay attention to what was going on. I was like, I really like this.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just a modern twist on cannibalism,
Yeah, definitely. And I saw the movie and I was like, whoa, so this, I think it was a pretty good choice. So we're gonna get into that in the next segment. So stick around. We gone for a couple seconds and yeah, we'll be right back. Okay, Bill, so my question that's burning inside of my mind right now is, why did you decide that we should talk about this movie?
Like I mentioned, it's a modern twist on cannibalism. Like, you don't really know who you're going on a date with or even hanging out with. I mean, they might be shopping for human flesh, and you're just in their scope.
Okay, there is definitely a lot to talk about this movie. There's maybe quite a few interpretations that people might have in their minds. And I'm gonna go with one of them, but before we do that, I guess we can kind of talk about the movie a little bit. So, the movie starts with this girl, Noah, and she's on a dating app or something like that, and she meets up with this guy for dinner at a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, the douche. I cannot. And they even named him Chad.
Was totally on purpose.
I figured. I was like, I don't like this Chad character. Telling her it's a cash only place. Like, come on, dude. Just pay for a fucking meal. It's like, what, $8?
I don't know, Chinese places are kind of expensive, but nowadays.
Actually, I'll go with my youngest and my mom, and I'll get food for my oldest to bring home, and it's like $25 at Chopsticks.
That's not bad, actually.
Yeah, it's a really good price, and the food's delicious there. I mean, it's small, and it probably has like secrets in the kitchen, but it's good food, so.
I think I've only been there once, and I haven't been ever since because I didn't like the time that I went. I didn't like the food, but I don't know. I can't even remember what I ordered, to be honest. So it's been so long ago. But anyways, I believe like this character was named Chad on purpose because when it's similar to when we've been conditioned to think of a person with the name of Karen, what kind of person they could be.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing for Chads, as in maybe like guys that are totally douchebags and self-centered and like that have no and they don't have any kind of redeeming quality to themselves. So he's talking about this story and then he starts talking to her about how he wishes he could see her in a dress or something like that, and I was like, oh my God,
Well, he was side skirting it. Like, he was just like, you know what's funny is like the people like from my parents' generation try to basically fucking poke at her without actually poking at her. Passive aggressive. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. But that's what he was doing about the whole dress thing. And it's like, bitch, I love an oversized hoodie. I wouldn't take it on a first date, but I love an oversized hoodie.
Yeah, I think he was just throwing some major shade there. And then the kicker at the end is like, oh, I want to get the leftovers for my brother because he's visiting me tonight. Oh my God.
I know. Do guys have no shame? And it's not just guys, because some girls can be terrible as well. But we're talking about Chad here. Like, do guys not have any shame? I don't understand this. Like, don't you feel like, maybe I shouldn't ask? I mean, come on. She paid for her own food, and then he's taking it?
Well, that was gonna be the interpretation that I was gonna go with throughout this whole movie, and I was gonna wait a little bit for that, but since you already asked, I wanna say, yeah, of course, there's a whole thing about cannibalism, but I feel like the movie as a whole is pretty symbolic of society as far as the expectations of the dating scene. So I feel like even like the cannibalistic scenes where they're sharing meals later on in the movie, I feel like a lot of that has to do with I think it's mainly a critique on society and what we've become and the way that we kind of expect other people to act or would like other people to act maybe when it comes to the dating scene. I don't know if you got that impression or not.
I just got the impression that men are just going to take what they want. Because, like, with Chad in that scene, and then this guy shopping for women to eat, and he just took her. Like, that's how I felt. It was kind of like, my God, like, a woman has, like, she thinks she has a choice. She's making a choice to go somewhere with this person, and she's too trusting. And then this guy takes what he wants from her, and he throws her in a, you know, a room and hides her away. To plump her up. That's what I feel like he was doing.
And see, that's part of what I was saying because I mean, me being a guy, I don't want to come across as mansplaining anything to anybody. That is not really what I'm trying to do here. So, from the man perspective, you asked if guys have no shame. A lot of us don't. And I'm not proud of saying this, but when I was younger, I was kind of a douchebag, to be honest. And looking back on that behavior now, I'm like, oh my God, how could I be that kind of person? And it's not that I'm trying to be a white knight for anybody or anything like that nowadays, but the older that I've gotten, the more experiences that I've gone through, I feel like I've become a different person, and I want to hope that's a better person than I was when I was younger. Now, I was never at the level of this chat guy, mind you, but I was kind of douchey back then. I would go out on dates and not call them after a couple times, or I don't know, I was because that was what you were as a man led to believe you had to act. It's pretty like now that I look back in it, it's like how could I believe that was the mentality that I had back then? But it's because talking to other guys, especially when you're young and you're a teenager or a young adult, like in your 20s, you get all these things about like, nah, man, you gotta treat them like this because that's what they want and this and that. And it's a really weird mentality. I don't know if it's any different right now. I don't think it is, or that it would be. But I don't know where that came from, to be honest. Like I listen to like a lot of my friends tell stories about, nah, I went on a date with this girl and this, blah, 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 whatever. And so that's kind of like what you or me, or like in this case, it's me in the story. What, so if he did that, then maybe I should do that too, and maybe that will get me dates. I can't understand why I did that, to be honest. So
Yeah.
it's pretty difficult now, and like I said, I mean, like, the good thing is that I recognized that it was not the kind of person that I wanted to be, and so I've changed the way that I was back then. I mean, I'm still kind of difficult, I guess, about some things, but in general, I think now I wouldn't do those kinds of things anymore nowadays.
I would hope not. But the whole thing about not messaging a girl after a date, I honestly, I think it depends on how much time. was invested. Like if you just met this girl and then the next day you're going on a like a dinner to kind of get to know her a bit more, and if you don't click, I don't think you have to do the whole like, sorry. I mean, I honestly, you should, as an adult, you should be able to say, you know what, it didn't work out, wish you the best, whatever. That'd be ideal. But at the same time, you don't own, you, I'm sorry, you don't owe anyone that explanation. Now, if you've had some time with this person, then yes, don't be an asshole. But sometimes I think these like people take ghosting, like every little thing, like, oh my God, he didn't text me today, he so ghosted me. And it's like, calm down, person.
Well, see, and the girl in the movie, Noah, she tried doing that at the end. She was like, you know what, I don't feel like we're connecting. And the guy just turns completely like asshole mode on her.
Oh my God. Yeah. So with women, I mean, we do have a lot to be scared of when we go out with people, or even out in public when we're not even on a date. You do always have to be aware of how guys are. And it's sad that we can't be upfront and we can't say no without getting called a bitch or stuck up, when it's like, no, dude, you're just psychotic and your scarf was in the Chinese food. Like, no, thank you.
I don't feel like a lot of people, and specifically men, are ready to handle rejection. So in that scene where she was saying to him, you know what, dude, I don't feel like we're going to be talking anymore. And you saw how he reacted. He's like, well, good luck finding a man, you fucking bitch, whatever, something like that. So it's like, dude, like,
stuck up bitch. Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. Like, I mean, it hurts or it sucks to be rejected. I mean, we've all been through that, I think, at some point or another. But you got to understand, well, maybe it's just not meant to be. And I don't think, like you said, anybody has the right to maybe tell a person, you know what, but in this case, like when it's this early, I think she was trying to do the thing that she thought was appropriate.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like a lot of people are not ready, or they can't ever accept that, oh my God, how come they don't like me? And I don't know, it's part of it. It's part of it. I mean, you're gonna, and when I say you, I mean just people in general. People, you're going to be going out on dates, and sometimes you're going to click with somebody, sometimes you're not, and it's just part of it. It's part of it, and that's just the way it is. And that's the kind of thing that I was going through when I was younger. I mean, I would go on dates, and I would, I don't know, go to dinner with somebody, go to movies, whatever, and then after a while, I'd be like, I don't feel like it's working. And I was the one that a couple times said, you know what, you know, it's not going to happen. A few times I was told the same thing, so it's just part of it. It's just the way things are. So then she's talking to her friend, I believe her friend is Molly, and about how this date went, and they're in, I guess, a kickboxing class or something like that. And she's like, you know what, I don't need anybody to be happy, blah, blah, whatever. But I feel like she kind of low-key does feel like she needs somebody. But I wanted to ask you, how much would you say that, as far as her character, that she really wants somebody, or it's because society expects her to be with somebody by that point of her life?
I don't think it had anything to do with society. I think we as people just want to have a connection with somebody. And sometimes some of us actively seek for it, you know, look for it, and some of us just kind of lay back and let it happen. I think that's what it was, really. I honestly don't think it's because of society putting any pressures on her. Because, I mean, if that was the deal, then I don't want to sound like a bitch, but she would have dressed differently. She would have fit into society's norm of a woman. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And instead, she was a comfy girl. That's how I love to be, workout pants, my Vans, and a hoodie. I love it. So that's my style. But I know sometimes I do have to dress up and look like a person. But yeah, I think with her, I think she just wanted somebody there. She wanted someone to share her life with, which is understandable. We all want that.
I do feel like, I don't know how it is in any other kind of culture, but in Hispanic culture for sure, I do believe that women are pressured into finding somebody at a younger age. I do think. Because if they don't, they're kind of seen as like, oh my God, she's gonna not have kids and she's gonna blah, blah, whatever. So all the people, the family, of course, starts talking about them not being able to find somebody or not being able to be an adult or something like that. And with us, man, it's a little different because we are kind of like, okay, whatever, men can find somebody at any point in their lives and have kids, whatever. And I don't think that's cool. I think it's pretty unbalanced, if you ask me. But it's already started to happen to me.
What do you mean?
It's been happening for a few years already. Well, it happened in like my early 30s. I want to say around the time that I was 32, 33, my parents were like, "Hey man, so what's up? Are you going to find somebody or what?" And I was like, why? Well, because my brother's married. Well, one of my brothers married kind of young. I think he was like 22 when he married, 23. And the other one got married when he was about 33. So when it was my time to be that age, my parents were like, "Your brother married at your age, so how come you haven't found anybody?" kind of thing. So I had a talk with him. And I was like, "I'll find somebody when I find somebody, and if I don't, then that's okay too. I mean, I don't feel like I need to rush into anything." So that kind of started going on for about 2, 3 years, and now since I turned about 36, I kind of just gave up on life. And I mean, they kind of see things. I guess they kind of see where I'm coming from now. But my point in all of this was that I had this conversation with them when I was in my 30s. I've known people in my family, friends of mine, whose families are pressuring them about marriage in their late teens, early 20s.
Wow, I've never experienced that. I mean, like, I'm in a Hispanic family, however, we're not like nopal Hispanic, if that makes sense. We're more like Americanized Hispanics. Yeah, I just don't want to sound like a dick.
Well, you kind of already insulted me by calling me a nopal Hispanic, so okay, but
That
a nopal is a
just
cactus.
meant, yeah, I know, that's what they say, right? Con
I
el
know,
nopal
I
en el
know.
frente.
Yeah. I know, but I'm just clarifying that for the audience out there in case somebody's listening in Europe and they have no idea what a nopal is.
Oh yes, it's a cactus that Mexicans love to eat. So
I don't.
it's good with eggs.
Like
I've
nopales
never
or
had them.
eggs.
They look slimy.
Yeah, then this kind of gross.
But yeah, I never had that. My family was more Americanized in that way. Like I mean, they even leave me alone now. Like, and that's because I'm gonna be 32. I've already been divorced once. After a short-lived marriage, and I have two kids, but they're not like, so are you gonna meet anybody? You know, if anything, my dad's like, you need to wait till your kids are already grown up and out of the house. And then my mom's just like, just don't have any more kids. Yeah.
See, and people out there might be wondering what does it have to do with the movie? I think it's got everything to do with the movie because, again, my interpretation of the movie was that it's about the pressures that people feel as from society as far as it comes to their dating life. Because even they say in the movie, "Oh, we've been raised since we're little kids because we're watching Disney princess movies and this and that, whatever." And I do
Yeah.
feel like that may be part of it.
But you know what? What bothered me is when she said that Ariel left the sea for a man. Ariel left the sea because that girl was full of so much curiosity and wonder. She wanted to know what was going on up there. Yeah, sure. The guy was cute, kind of sparked more interest in her to going on the ground or on the dirt, whatever. But I don't think she did it solely for the prince.
I wouldn't know because I
I don't
haven't seen The
know.
Little Mermaid in ever.
Oh my God.
But I mean, I
Okay,
get the
guys,
feel.
next episode, we're doing The Little Mermaid.
I get the feeling that maybe from what I have people have heard people say about The Little Mermaid that maybe she had that natural curiosity, but I guess maybe meeting that guy maybe gave her that final push that she maybe didn't know she needed.
We all need a catalyst, and maybe that was it. Like, you know?
Exactly. So it's kind of like when you meet somebody and you decide to try new things, which is what this girl's trying to do.
Yeah.
So, and like you said, without even expecting it, she was kind of still cycling through the dating app and she goes, "What time is it in the like midnight?"
I want to say, yeah, she's doing some midnight grocery shopping.
And there's a bunch of weird people. There's some dude eating like a cabbage or some shit, like some older
No,
guy.
he was dipping his finger in the milk and tasting the
Oh
milk.
yeah. I was like,
Oh.
since this whole COVID thing started, I wash my groceries when I bring them home.
I used to do that, and then I got tired of it.
Because oh my God, the amount of crazy people out there. But anyways,
Well, like I wash my produce, but like I stopped washing the bags of like bread and stuff like that.
Oh no, I still do. And I'm probably gonna keep doing that forever, to be honest, like, because I don't trust anybody anymore. Especially after that scene in that movie where this guy's like, yeah, tasting the milk with his fingers. Yeah, you're right. And oh no, I was getting confused because this guy's eating grapes.
Oh, yeah. The
Steven.
cotton candy grape.
Yeah, Steven, that's how he approaches this girl. Like, he sees her in the supermarket at midnight or whatever fucking time it is. And hey, you ever had any cotton candy grapes? And she's like, the fuck? And that's how this whole conversation starts. And he seems to be like an okay dude in the beginning, whatever.
Yeah, he gets her to believe like in love again. Because I mean, she felt like, what the fuck am I doing this for? And then she met him with his cuteness at the grocery store. Honestly, that was a cute approach. It's a meet cute, you know? But then you understand, like, you get what he's wanting, and then you're like, wah, wah, wah. Fuck those grapes.
So essentially, this guy kind of comes across as maybe not, I mean, when I say perfect, it's not perfect, like, oh my God, he has no flaws, but maybe as whatever she thinks she wants in a guy is what this guy has. So basically, what I'm trying to say is that she goes for it because to her, it seems like this guy is what she's looking for in a man. Because she tells her friend, oh, he's funny and he's cute and this and that, whatever. So I feel like that is why she gave him her number that first night.
That's the reason why she gave him the number. I think it's because he was funny and charming. I if I was in her shoes, I would have been like, oh my God, that's cute.
But that's what I just said, that she gave him
No,
the
but
number
you're, no,
because
I'm not saying him. I'm saying the situation.
yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's not bad in the eyes. He's good looking. I wouldn't say he's handsome, but I mean, he's all right. But the way I understood what you said is that she gave him her number or whatever because he met like the criteria, but I don't think that's what it, I just think that it was just, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yes,
Maybe.
whatever.
I guess we'll never know. So then she's talking to him to her friend about this guy, and then out of nowhere he texts, and it's already been like what, 3 4 days since the supermarket encounter.
Yeah, it's been a few days. And she was doing that anxiety thing that a lot of girls do, and maybe boys do it too, but we don't hear up from them as far as that goes. Of the whole, why hasn't he texted me already? That shit, girls, stop doing it. Just enjoy
You know what? That's very common
your
for men
day.
too. That's
It?
it is. I mean, it is for me. I can tell you that much. I mean, when I'm trying to text somebody and they're not replying, it's like, oh, okay, I guess whatever. And nowadays, I'm quite a bit more chill about it. But back in the day, I was like, man, like I guess I didn't make a good impression. And I kind of, not that I went into depression about it, but I'll be like, okay, I guess it's time to go drinking again tonight. So let's go. So I mean, I guess he was doing it, of course, to keep her intrigue levels up. Because by this point, this guy is a predator. He already knows how to work a person's mind to get them interested, to keep them interested. So by him doing that, like you said, cute, funny approach in the supermarket, and he got her number, and him waiting about 3 4 days, whatever, after the fact to text her, he knows he's gonna be in her mind.
Especially with that last line of the, I'll just really want to text you so bad, but I won't text you. That would have told me, oh, he's a douche. That's not funny to me. I don't think it's cute. I would have been like, oh, you're one of those. All right, so I'll just not respond to you because that's a huge turn off. I don't know why she didn't see that, but whatever.
Well, I guess people have different preferences and things like that. And I guess she goes to dinner with or to a bar. She goes to the bar with this guy. And they start sharing drinks and stories. And the first thing he asks is about her family. And but now this is the kind of thing that you would talk about with somebody on the first date. I mean, maybe not the family thing, but you would ask him where they're from, what their job is, stuff like that, right?
Yeah, the basics.
Yeah, but his whole plan is to try to find out if he has any people around that would be looking for her at this point, because he's already zoned in on this girl. He wants to get her for his dark purposes. So now what he has to do is he needs to make sure that nobody's gonna give him any trouble, like he's not gonna be chased after by an angry dad with a shotgun or anything like that. So that's why he's doing all the probing, and he seems like a pretty cool dude. And then she asked for the cherries, and they get like a bowl of cherries or something. They're
Yes.
gonna give you that many cherries at Vargas because cherries are fucking expensive.
Are they the maraschino cherries? Are those like the cheap ones in syrup?
I don't know if I cheap. I
Actually,
don't
I haven't
like.
bought cherries in a while. Well, I buy cherries, but the fresh ones, not the jar ones. So, but the fresh ones are fucking expensive.
They're like $5 for a tiny little jar.
Oh, really?
The big jar is like $8. Oh, fuck that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a
S
lot.
yeah, so so then now she talked to her friend about taking chances and then doing things that you haven't done, and this is what makes her ask the guy, you know what, I like this guy, let's go ahead and try new things, something that I never that's out of character for me. So she takes him home and then they sleep together.
Yeah.
Mind you, in the beginning this guy tried to stop because he's married. We find this out later in the movie.
Well, no, that's not why he wanted to stop. He used the we gotta take it slow approach.
Ah, okay. So that's to build interest again?
I think it was because like when you hear a guy saying that, you're just kind of like, oh, he's very respectful. Like you get, or at least I would interpret it in that way. Like, okay. And I think that's why it was. I mean, he still ended up banging her,
Yeah.
but like I think that helped when he said that line, and she was just like, "Oh my God, you're like so amazing."
Don't know. I still think like maybe he was holding back because he was married. I mean, he was still gonna do it regardless, mind you. I thought. But I don't know. I'm not that I'm trying to give him any brownie points or anything like that, because this guy's a scumbag. But I don't know. I think he was conflicted about it for a minute. Like. Really conflicted.
I think he sleeps with all of his targets because maybe that's how he measures them up. I know that sounds very twisted, but I mean, he's shopping for meat, guys. This is what he's doing. So I think that's just the way of him. You know how they do like, and I don't want to say this in the, I don't mean this in a bad way, but you know how like they parade the cattle around like at the stock show for you to like bid on them? I think that's what he's doing. Like he's checking out the merchandise.
I don't know, because later on in the movie, when they're in the dungeon, the other girl asks Noah if she slept with him, and she's yes, and the other girl is like, oh my God, he didn't sleep with me. So, I don't know. But before we get to that part, so then there's like a little montage of their, I guess, dating
His
life. They're not,
dating
they're,
life.
yeah, they're now a couple apparently, or something like that. How much time do you think has gone by by this point? Between the first time they met or they went out to the bar to the point in which he asks her to go on a weekend getaway?
From my understanding, it was a month. So one thing I did want to bring up was when she was telling her friend about the about him about them sleeping together, she wanted to look up his Instagram, and then she's like, "Oh, well, he doesn't have an Instagram." And then the friend's like, "Well, that's a red flag." I don't personally, I mean, I have an Instagram because I want to keep up with the local events. And every so often I do like deactivate it and I'm off of it for a while. But I don't have a Facebook and people tend to think that's weird. And it's kind of like, no, I just don't like Facebook. So would you think it's a red flag if someone doesn't have social media?
No, not really. I know a lot of people that don't have it. Usually, I mean, I don't mean to put you down or anything, but usually it's people that are a little bit up in age. Not that you are, by the way, but people like in their 40s or 50s. But even if for example, I were to meet somebody and I find out they don't really have any social media, I wouldn't think it's a red flag. I mean, I have social media, but I don't really use it for anything constructive, really. Really, the only reason why I use my social media is to keep up with my family sometimes and find some sort of entertainment, like cat memes, for example. And that's about it, pretty much. Because my personal Instagram, I don't use it anymore. I haven't used it in a good amount of time. Now the only accounts that I have that are personal is my Facebook, and that's it pretty much. Because everything else is about the podcast. So, oh, and my Snapchat too.
Yeah, I like Snapchat's filters.
Yeah, I don't even use my Snapchat anymore. So I mean, I haven't posted anything on there in a while. So, but to answer your question, long story short, I don't think not having social media is a red flag, but I can see why people will think that because it seems like everyone's obsessed with social media nowadays.
Yeah, and then it's like the, well, what are you hiding? Why don't you have a social media account? Kind of thing, but I don't know.
And I don't know if I should ask this question or not, so maybe I should skip it.
What?
What is your opinion on joint accounts?
Oh my God. Grow up, please. Now, if you have a joint account because you guys have both determined, you know what, we have the same friends and y'all are like, oh, yes, fuck it, we'll do it. Or if you're one of those that's like having to be controlling, no, don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're that insecure and you need to share a Facebook account, what are you doing? Run.
That's a red flag to me.
Mind you, I shouldn't be giving dating advice. I'm still single. I'm divorced, actually. So, I mean, I just think if you feel like you have to have the reins on your man or your girl that bad, why are you even there?
To me, that would be a red flag for sure. Like, if I'm with somebody and like, hey, we should do a Facebook joint account, I'm like, hell no. Bye. See ya. Because I don't know. That's and it's a matter of personal preference. Like you said, if the person decides that it's okay with and they're fine with it, that's fine. But you know, but if you're being coerced into it, if you're being blackmailed emotionally by into doing this by your partner, then I would say that's not cool. But anyways, I also should not be giving dating advice because I am about to be 38 in a couple of months and I'm still single. Never been married, but that's you know. It's I have a complicated history. But anyways, so she agrees to go with him on the weekend getaway, and she doesn't know where they're going because he's like, "Oh, it's a surprise. You know, I'll tell you later, or whatever." So he's doing this because he doesn't want her telling her friends where they're going.
Yeah.
So all of this, it's already kind of like starting to, that to me would be kind of like, I don't know. Like, if I don't care how long I've been with somebody, if they suggest let's go on a vacation, I'll be like, well, where are we going? Because I want to be able to tell people, like, hey, you know, I'll be going here for this many days in case something happens. I mean, not that I'll be afraid that they're going to cannibalize me or anything like that, but
You never know.
in case something, yeah, I mean, in case something happens, in case, for example, like, the power goes out or some sort of natural disaster hits, then I would like people to know where I'm at so they can send a fucking rescue chopper or something, you know?
Yeah.
So it's always a good idea to let somebody know where you're going. But this guy knows that, so he's, oh, you know, it's a surprise, you know, whatever. So you'll find out when we get there. And so where does this guy live? In the middle of a forest?
Yeah, apparently he has like a cabin house sort of out there in the boondocks, in the pretty boondocks
He's got that house, but I mean, he's married, so he lives in some suburb, right, with his family, with his two kids and his wife.
Yeah.
But his little meat dungeon, whatever you might want to call it, is somewhere secluded in the forest, in the mountains, probably.
His slaughterhouse, that's what it is.
Yeah. So they get there, and he's trying to, you know, play Prince Charming once again, and so he drugs her. He gives her the.
Well, first of all, we have to mention he did the cute thing and got her a ton of cherries because she likes cherries on her drinks. So he remembered that little thing and she felt even more like, oh my God, you remember.
So even now he's playing that role. Like he's still trying to
Yep.
make it seem like he's quote unquote the perfect guy, whatever. And so then she of course is knocked unconscious by the drugs, and then the next time she wakes up,
Because
she's
he's clever about this shit. He's like, what do you taste in the drink? Oh, she's like, I haven't had a sip yet. Well, take a drink. Tell me what you taste. And she kept sipping and sipping and sipping until she got nectarine. And then that was it. She drank too much because she was too busy fucking trying to taste it. She drank all the sleepy stuff.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, that was his way of getting her to drink that. Yeah. Quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta say that's smart, but fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, not that I'm, again, not that we're giving this guy props or anything like that, but I mean, he's pretty calculating. He's pretty conniving.
Yeah.
He's pretty smart. The wrong kind of intelligence, mind you, or the.
Or he's just applying it in the wrong areas, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant to say, thank you. So then she wakes up and she's chained up to the floor or whatever, and she's sleeping in the like in a sleeping bag or something like that. And so this is where he starts to reveal his plan to her, that she's been, I guess, selected for this underground meat market for the rich people that want to be able to taste human meat, whatever.
By the way, did you remember or did you catch when they were eating at her apartment and she's like, "Here, can you try some of this?" And I don't know what it was, chicken or something. It was some Chinese food. And he's like, "Oh, I don't eat anything. I don't eat animal." And then she's just like, "Oh, she felt all bad." But I was like, "Oh my God, a little bad. Little jerk. He doesn't eat animal because he eats people."
Yeah, I guess maybe she thought that he was vegetarian.
Yeah, or vegan.
Yeah, you're right. They had that moment in the apartment too. So then that's when she starts finding out all of his little evil plans, and she meets the girl next door through the wall. They start kind of whispering to each other. And the friend, Molly, is looking for this girl, for Noah. And I was kind of irritated at her character because she never called the cops. But in reality, why is she gonna tell the cops?
They wouldn't have cared because she would have told her or told the cops. Well, she told me she was going on a vacation with this guy. And they would have said, "Well, then why are you calling us? Wait till she was expected to come back. And if she doesn't come back, then call us." But I mean, it would have been pointless, sadly.
Yeah. So I came into that conclusion later on in the movie. I thought about it, especially when she was talking to the bartender dude that I guess was her former boyfriend or hookup guy or something like that.
Yeah.
She's asking him, you know, give me a name, whatever. And the guy's okay, whatever, I'll think about it. So, because the guy makes a joke, well, go to the cops, and she's like, no. And then the guy was like, well, she's white. And the girl is like, oh, come on, don't go there, don't go there. I'm not gonna say anything to that because, yeah, I think that was probably what, not the best thing to do, but that's what, like you said, the cops wouldn't have cared. Because is it true that they have that 48 hours before you can make a report missing or something like that?
I thought it was 24 hours.
24?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, I can Google it, but I think that's what it is. I know you do have to wait for an adult, like at least a day, to consider someone to consider an adult missing.
So, and then eventually days go by, and I think by this point it's been a week already that she was supposed to come back and she hasn't.
Yeah.
So that's when she starts doing like more hardcore investigative work. And so the guy gives her Steven's name, and she somehow finds him on through social media, and he finds out that he's married, or sorry, she finds out that he's married. And so she goes to the house. Now, be honest with me. Did you expect the twist with the wife?
No, I'm like
Really?
that fucking bitch.
Really?
I didn't know because I thought she was going to be the ignorant wife who would end up, driving up to the cabin and then finding the girls chained up. I feel like that would have been a different way to go about it, and then chaos would have ensued. But I mean, this way it was cool too, I guess.
I mean, I don't want to paint myself as being more clever than I really am, but what gave it away for me is that she acted really cool throughout the whole thing.
But the thing is there's a lot of people who aren't reactive. They will kind of take something in and they'll think about what they can do. I know for me, I sometimes have I react. I have an emotional reaction to things, but I've worked on that to where I'm like I'm trying to like take a few seconds, digest what I was just told, and then think, how should I go about this? instead of just being, oh my God, what the fuck? And then, you know, calling everyone and trying to find the man.
Because, I mean, this woman, Molly, knocks on her door. I think the wife's name is Anna or something like and she basically tells the wife, hey, I believe your husband is cheating on you with my friend. Basically, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that from a stranger, maybe.
Yeah, plus what proof did she have besides a different name that wasn't her husband's? She had no pictures of this man, you know?
Yeah, she had that one blurry picture that Noah had sent her of him sleeping next to her, like with his hair covering his face, whatever.
Yeah, but even then it's like it's that doesn't say much, you know?
No, it doesn't. And so I guess in a way that's okay. I mean, I don't know who this person is, and yes, she's talking about my husband going off with this other girl to a vacation, whatever. So in a way, I guess maybe her reaction was appropriate, but I don't know. I felt like she was a little bit too detached from everything. And so, not that I expected the exact twist, but I expected something that she was up to something too.
Yeah.
So then when the guy gets home and Molly tells him, hey, did you meet my friend? And he's like, no, my name is, I think he said his name is Brandon or something like that. My name's Brandon. Or Brian or something like that. And then she makes a mistake of dialing the phone while still inside the house. And
Yeah.
that's when the wife is revealed to be his accomplice. So I'm gonna ask you a question, and I hope it doesn't make it too uneasy. Do you
No, I
th
would not be
No,
an
no,
accomplice.
no, no, no. Well, no, no, no. No, I wasn't gonna ask you that. Because we can talk about something pertaining to that a little bit later down the road. But what I was gonna ask you is, what about their kids? Do they feed them this kind of meat?
Well, normally parents do like push their dietary wants or needs, whatever, onto their kids because it's easier. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did feed the kids that, but I don't think they would have, I don't think it's something that they feed them every day. I think it's like sparingly, you know, like a good steak every once in a while.
Maybe kind of to ease them in as they get older.
Maybe, because I mean, they're gonna end up finding out. I mean, they're gonna see stuff in the fridge. What did he keep in the freezer? There was something at the house that he kept in the freezer. Oh no. Sorry. It was the leg, the hawk or whatever you want to call it, or like he was cutting off like prosciutto almost.
Yeah, but I
Yeah.
thought that was in this little meat dungeon thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the kids have to go there when they're on vacation, don't you think? I just think that they're part of it and they don't even know it.
Yeah, I was thinking about the today actually as I was getting ready for the episode, I was like, man, like what if the kids are being fed this kind of thing? And like now realistically, not that I've you know, but I've read things about cannibalism and across different cultures. And it's not good for people to eat people.
Yeah.
You can actually develop a severe illness from it, so
Yes.
at some point, I mean, these people are gonna get sick and their kids are gonna get sick, so. I don't
Plus, it's like I wouldn't want to eat a person. God knows what the hell he put in their body. Like, if you end up eating a drunk, it's gonna taste pickled. Like, I wouldn't want that.
I mean, never mind the ethical implications of eating a person while you. I mean, no.
Love y'all.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't willingly ever eat anything like that.
Ooh, imagine what a smoker tastes like. I bet their like meat is like rubbery or like fuck chewy or something.
Don't know. Anyways, moving on. So, the scene where this guy is cutting up the meat, there's music and he's dancing to it, and it's like, oh, this guy's having too much fun with this.
Yeah. Me enjoys it. When you do with your passion, it's not really work. It's just another great day.
Yeah, it reminded me of a scene in, I believe it was American Psycho, when the guy's getting ready to off someone in his apartment and he's playing all this music and explaining why he likes the song, and it's like, it kind of gave me that same kind of vibe. And so then she tries to escape after she's like, "Yeah, I gotta take a shower, I gotta clean up." And he's like, "Okay." And he's doing this as a way to test her. See what if she tries anything, and he has an idea that she will try something because he has her tied up or something like that.
Yeah.
And as you're walking around, you can see her. She's a smart girl, smart woman. She's kind of taking in her surroundings, kind of looking at possible escape ways, stuff like that. But then she makes the mistake of, okay, I can make a run for it here. And so he has her tied up, and he kind of just smacks her against the wall. And then he surgically removes her behind, her butt. So, yeah. What do you feel about that development?
That's not nice. It's like he's trying to go make a rump roast. That's not cute.
Have a question, and I hope we're not coming across as being too insensitive here, but how would that person sit down from now on?
Well, she would just sit down lopsided. He only took like one of them, right?
I don't know. I think he took a chunks of both.
Well, I mean, you're still able to sit. It's just you're not going to have enough cushion and you may need a donut to sit on, but I mean, she can always go to Brazil and get a BBL.
Well, at some point, I think eventually she might decide to do that. But I mean, I was like, when he has her on the table, and he's like, "I'm taking your ass. I gotta show you there's consequences for this." And now I was like, "Oh my God, this guy's like not clearly not altogether there." But I mean,
I thought it
so
was her boob that he took. I don't know why I thought it was her breast that he took.
no, it was the butt, the cheeks.
Yeah.
This is when she starts to realize she finds a message in a magazine because he's trying to be nice to her, apparently, you know, whatever, to ease her mind into it. But he tells her, like, "You accept it, you're gonna die. Like, there's no escape from here. You're like, it's just a matter of you deciding how you want to get to that point." So he brings her magazines, and there's a message written in one of the magazines about how the message says something to the effect of, "If you're reading this, it means he likes you, so use that against him," or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's when she finds out that she can play games with him too. And she's really smart about it. She's really, 'cause she asks him the question, like, "So what does it taste like?" And he goes off on it, like, "Oh my God, it's just the most amazing thing ever." And she's like, "Okay."
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a reversal of the first couple of scenes, because now she's getting his interest piqued. Because he's even saying, like, "So that's it, no more questions?" And she's like, "No, I'm fine."
Yeah.
So that's gonna leave her in his mind now. So she knows, like, how to get to him in a way. So then that's when she starts kind of being nice to him, and then he asks her to go to dinner. And that's when she first samples the meat he's got in his fridge.
Yes, I think it was Mary.
I believe, yeah.
Or, yeah.
Melissa, no?
There we go. Something.
Yeah. No, not
Polly,
no,
Joy.
it
There
was
we go.
no, it was Hope or something. I don't know, one of those.
It was something cheery because then she made a joke about it.
And then the second time that they had dinner together, I believe that was Melissa. And Melissa had been captive when she was already there, but by that point, that girl Melissa was already, yeah, almost dead.
Yeah.
But she starts to exploit this against him, that she knows she can get inside of his mind because she knows that he likes her. So, and another thing that was kind of, I guess I saw it coming, but again, it's just something that maybe because I watched too many horror movies. The second time they had dinner, she's already like dressed up because he gave her a dress and he gave her some perfume. And so she's trying to make it seem like it seems like they're having a date, as twisted as that might be. Like at this point in the movie,
Yeah.
I can see how maybe anyone could think that Oh my God, is she really going into this? Like, is she really enjoying this lifestyle? But it was just part of her head games. And I knew it because I mean, if one scene, if they hadn't shown her throwing up after the first time she had dinner, I think I would have been like, oh my God, this girl's like really going into this kind of stuff. But because as soon as she came back into her room after the first time they had dinner, she threw up right away. I was like, okay, no, she's just playing games with him. But I mean, I'm not taking anything away from the movie. I think this movie's pretty well done. I liked it. It's pretty good. And they have another little montage after the second time they have dinner because she's all dressed up. And by this point, you can tell she's already got him where she wants him. Because the guy's all kind of like, oh yeah, you know, now I got her. Like, I'm making her think like me.
I've
So
converted one.
yeah. But I don't think it's the first time. I think his wife was already like that.
Don't know. I think she just eats salads.
No, because the wife, well, she's part of it, but there's a scene where she's gonna get a shower, or take a shower rather, and you can see that one of her legs is missing.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. So, like, maybe she just played the long haul and stayed with him and got married and had kids.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking, that maybe this guy was able to convince his wife as he had her captive, like he has Noah now. Like, hey, you know, like maybe you know, what happened with Noah, I think had already happened with the girl he ended up marrying. At least that's how I interpreted it. I don't know if you got that impression.
Well, I just thought that she was bitter because of her accent or something, and then she just was like, I don't want anyone to live with their limbs, you
I don't know. But so this is where that scene that you say that he's gonna he takes her to his bedroom, whatever, and he's like, oh yeah, it's gonna happen again.
Yeah.
But it's all part of her plan because she goes to the restroom and she gets toothpaste in her hands. Or soap, I think. Toothpaste or soap, I can't remember. And I had a feeling she was gonna do what she did. I don't know about you.
The biting.
Yeah, the biting of the organ, the sexual organ.
Well, at this point, I was just kind of like, where are you going with this girl? Because she was seeming a little more caught up in it. And yeah, I know she threw up, but it could have just been her because it was the first time she ate human. So it's just like, where are we going with this? Are you actually falling for this guy? Like, are you that desperate? Like, what's going on? But then when she bit him, I wasn't okay, so I was working while this was going on, right? And then like I just see like out of the corner of my eye just blood all over her and I looked and I was like, oh, this bitch.
So I had a feeling she was gonna do that, and when it happened, I was like, oh, I kind of just felt something. Yeah, I was like, oh, and I kind of just like curled up in a ball and I was like, oh, that hurts. So she escapes and she breaks out her friend and the other girl too, Penny, the one that's in the next room to her. And she's missing a leg already. So they have to kind of pick her up and take her out. And they have a fight in the kitchen. And that fight, I thought it was pretty intense.
Yeah, she's a tough cookie. She's like recently out of ass surgery and she's kicking ass, man.
Yeah, I mean, her friend too, her friend. Well, because they train in boxing or kickboxing, right? So,
True.
I mean, they gotta have some sort of physical endurance and stuff like that. So they escape from the kitchen, and the guy gets a gun, and he chases after them in the forest. And they're able to get the best of him, like after he's kind of chasing after them and saying all these things to them, like, "Oh my God, you fucking bitches! I'm gonna kill you!" All that, whatever. And in the end, they kind of ambush him, and they end up getting him killed, or they killed him rather.
Yeah.
And then, as this is going on, the wife showed up with some dude, like I guess a butler or something. And oh, okay, you know what's going on in this house, whatever. She sees all the blood. She goes out and she finds him. But let's not forget, Molly's friend, the bartender dude. This motherfucker, he gets to the house, And he sees it, and then he kind of gets off from his car and he hears a commotion, like the guy, Steven, screaming after Noah and the friends, like,
He
come
hears
back
the
here.
gunshots.
And he's like, oh, fuck this. And he just gets out of his car and leaves. He doesn't even, like,
Yeah.
try anything now. How do you feel about that?
It depends on how close I am to this person. Now, he could have just stayed out of the way and called the cops. We don't know what he did. I mean, yeah, he was like, fuck this, and got back in his car, but he could have gotten himself to safety to call police, because what was the point of him rushing in? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, what was he going to be able to do?
Yeah, exactly. So that was the point of my question. Like, because in movies, you always see the people going into the house trying to play hero or something like that. And this guy did something different for a change.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that's going to make anybody out there feel. But I feel like that was probably a good choice on his part. I don't know how people are going to feel about me saying that, but I would agree with you.
I mean, it is our opinions,
Yeah.
so.
No, I mean, but I would agree with you, Bill, in saying that, you know what? Let me not be here, but I'm gonna be calling the cops on the way back down to the town or whatever.
Yeah, let me just backpedal from here and call the cops.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being a little bit too careful, if you ask me.
No, because once again, what the fuck is he gonna do? He doesn't have a gun. Now, if he had a gun, it's a different story. You can kind of walk in there and you have something. But if you're just walking there bare handed with a damn cell phone, no.
Exactly.
Save yourself and save everybody.
Yeah. So now I also agree with the other thing you said, that if it was a close family member, then I more than likely I would have been more into the idea of, you know what, I guess I have to go in because, you know, I have to save him. In that case, I think I would be more willing to go into the house.
Yeah.
Even if I have no weapons. I mean, I could always maybe try to find something into the house, but it all depends on the context, like you said. So I agree with you on that. So the girls, after they kill the guy, they come across this barn. I guess it's a neighbor's place or something like that, and nobody comes out to help them. So then Noah realizes that she doesn't have her phone anymore. So she goes back to find it, and the wife's there to meet her. So the wife tries to play like she's a victim too, for a minute.
Yeah.
And so she's like, "Oh my God, you got him! We're finally free, whatever." And then she's like, "Boom!" And she like strangles her. This lady's strong.
Yeah, she is.
She's pretty strong. And so then I think Noah had hidden a knife inside of her dress because she stabs her with something.
Yeah, something was poked her.
Yeah, so she gets a knife from somewhere and she stabs the wife. And at that point, that's when Molly comes back and she just smacks her face in with a shovel or something like that. And I was like, oh my God, that's kind of vicious.
Well, I mean, that was her girl. So I get it. I would have done the same shit.
See, but this is what we said last time about Halloween. This girl made sure this girl was not gonna get up.
Yeah, because that's what you're supposed to do. That's a boss bitch. She's not like that town of people who, oh my God, what do I do now, guys? I can't. Oh.
I thought that was pretty cool that she actually made sure, you know what, no, hell no, I'm gonna make sure this woman can never get up ever again. She basically destroys her head.
Yeah, she bashed her head in. They're serving brain tacos.
Yeah. Quite literally. Barbacoa on Sundays, guys. And then
Salsa
we're talking about that in a minute actually here, but so then of course the couple final scenes in the movie is that one, Noah's like, who the hell was that lady? And Molly's like, that was Steve's wife. And the joke was when Noah's is he was married. Like that
Yeah.
was the worst possible thing about him, I mean, after everything they went through. But the last thing before the credits is, guess who texts again?
The
Yep. The douchebag
I missed
that,
that, I guess.
yeah, it was at the very end of the movie, right before the credits. They pan out from
Oh,
them.
okay.
Yeah, they're kind of sitting in the forest, kind of comforting each other, and the camera pans to Noah's phone, And the screenshot says possibly Chad, because when you delete somebody's number
Oh, yeah.
on an iPhone, but you've had that number saved for some sort of time, it remembers somehow.
No, it's just because of who the number is registered to. It says maybe Dora the Explorer or
So
whatever.
then his message is like, "Hey, are you up?"
Oh.
Oh my God, dude. Oh my God. It's horrible. But there are people like that in the world, and those are not people that you should want in your life. But anyways, I digress. So one final thing. During the credits, they show another scene of the rich people eating human meat. And they're all sitting together in one round table. A couple of them seem to be naked and they're chained up or something like that, so some sort of weird kink, I guess. But
Maybe.
at the very end, this logo comes up as the credits are running. It's a logo and it's like a goat's head with some sort of what I want to think was possibly satanic symbols, like a pentagram and some sort of weird symbols around it. So
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, do you feel like there was just maybe like some sort of satanic cult or something like that?
I think it reminded me very much of the people from Squid Games who were playing, like who were betting on the people who was gonna win. It reminded me of that. So I think it's just more like a secret society kind of thing. I don't feel like it had any tones of, devil worshiping or satanic behavior. I just think it was just a secret society.
Yeah, I'm asking because of how those symbols are associated with
Yeah.
Satanism, like the goat's head and the pentagram, stuff like that.
Yeah, but I don't think it had anything to do with it. I just think it was just a secret society and they just,
So, all right, Bill, I guess we're ready to give a score for this movie. So, what should be our units?
Toes.
Toes, okay. I was gonna go with something a little bit more crass than that, but I can live with that. Toes.
Were you gonna pick?
I was gonna say something weird and possibly inappropriate, like butt cheek steak or something like that.
That's funny.
But we shall go with toes then. So, out of 10, how many toes does this movie get for you?
I give it an 8.
I think that's pretty fair. I would give it the same amount, yeah, 8. Because I liked the movie, it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty well done. Like I've been saying throughout this whole time, my interpretation of it was maybe, yeah, cannibalism and stuff like that, but I think the main thing that I got from it at least is that it's some sort of symbol for the pressures of society on people as far as their dating life is concerned. So now, as far as Steve, how many skulls does he get? How good of a villain is he?
He's a clever bitch. I'm gonna give him a 9.
I'm gonna agree with you on that too. It's a 9. And the only skull that I'm taking off is because he actually started falling for her. I think in some sort of sick, twisted way, he actually started falling in love with this girl.
He fell in love with her from the day he met her. You could tell he had this little, like, oh my God, she's amazing.
Yeah, of course. I think, I mean, the girl's pretty cute, I think.
Yeah,
And
she's pretty.
I think she's British in real life, which kind of is like a plus for me. The British accent. But yeah, so 8 on the movie and 9 for Steve as the villain. Do we have anything more to add, though?
Don't think so. Just be careful about going on dates, guys. You never know if you might end up in a meat locker.
Yeah, it might be the love of your life, or it might be somebody trying to literally eat you.
Yep.
not in a fun way. So yeah, that was our critique slash review slash rant on Fresh. And we shall be right back because Belle has something for us, right, Belle? We'll be right back. Stick around. Okay, Bill, so it is now your turn to come up with something for the second part of the episode. So, what have you got for us?
So Remember how we were like messaging earlier and you made the comment about the temperature getting a lot crazy?
Oh yeah.
So I thought, because I kind of wanted to have a more bigger conversation about it, I guess, or
Okay.
so you know how they say like once it starts getting hot, people start getting aggressive.
Yes.
So I did this search online and it turns out that there's like a sweet spot for this. Because once it dips below a certain degree, and they're using Celsius, and I don't feel like, you know, converting it right now, but like from my guessing, it's like about 80 degrees when people start getting like annoyed, but then once it gets too hot, they're over it, and like there's the violence decreases, and then they said that when it rains, the violence goes down, but domestic violence goes up. So I just wanted like, you know, to talk about that because it's crazy how you have to have a sweet spot in temperature for people to go out there and be jerks and violent and stuff.
Wow.
Which they're saying because it's too hot, people get uncomfortable. I mean, I know I get fucking annoyed if it's too hot. I'm just like, get the hell away from me. Don't touch me. I'm sticky. You're sticky. Oh, you know what? Okay. If I ever go somewhere like a festival or something and it's outside and someone touches me, and they're sweaty, I will throw a BF. I will be like, watch where you're walking. Like, I'm an ass. But it's gross. Like, I don't want your slimy arm all over me.
Oh yeah, no, that is pretty gross.
Yeah. So I get it. Like, I get annoyed and I'm like bitchy when it's hot.
So is this in relation to just, like you said, domestic violence stuff, or is it in relation to violent crimes too?
Violent crimes. It was just that tidbit that I found was that in, when it rains, domestic violence goes up. And I'm guessing because people are stuck inside indoors. So, I mean, people are annoyed. I mean, you know how some crazy people are, but I just thought that when it rains, that's why domestic violence goes up because it's not, people are stuck inside. And when it's cold or hot out, I mean, guys can still stumble over to the bar, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not, I mean, women are also abusers, but I'm just kind of just going with the, you know.
Yeah, and I mentioned to you how when I was in college, a professor told us that, I mean, I majored in psychology, if anyone out there is not aware of this. So a professor, I remember telling us that there was, in fact, some sort of increase in weird crimes, mind you, when springtime rolled up. So around this time of year. March, April, May type of thing. And mind you, I haven't looked into that at all as far as statistics or anything like that, but you're not bringing this to the table, so I'm thinking like, that's a pretty interesting bit of information there.
Well, I think it's because it starts warming up around spring.
Yeah.
And plus, allergies start kicking in. So that's another thing. Like, I know when my allergies are acting up, I am not in the best mood because I feel like crap, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe that also plays a role in it too.
I get the rain part, and I agree with you on that. That I think the rain, because people have to stay indoors more often than not, and they can't go out and I guess vent, like by going to a bar, whatever it is that they do. So now they're stuck at home, and I don't know. It kind of, but I don't know if you heard about how the same thing happened during the quarantine too.
Well, the quarantine, that is something that bugs me because I know that domestic violence went up, and I also know child abuse went up because no one had an outlet. No one, the kids weren't able to go to school, where they're able, you know, to get out of that environment for a while and get a break and actually get food. Instead, they were dealing with their parents who shouldn't have been parents, you know? So I get real like sad because I started thinking about it and I'm like, oh my God, how many kids fell through the crack? Because I mean, for a while, I mean, there weren't any caseworkers going to the houses to check up on these kids because how could they? Everything was going to hell, you know? But yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't want to use the word interesting because it's not interesting. It's not because it's not a good thing. But in a way, it kind of is interesting because, I mean, why would staying at home make somebody feel more violent? Isn't, I mean, ideally, home is the place where you want to be with your family and spend time with them, no?
Well, think about it this way. You're frustrated because you've lost your job because of of the shutdowns. You are struggling to pay your bills. On top of that, now you're, and I'm just using these words so I can kind of make a bigger impact. You're stuck with dealing with your kid 24/7, instead of him getting a break from them for 8 hours when they go to school or however long school is. And on top of that, you're having to teach them. So it's like it's a melting pot. There's just so much going on that no wonder some people, and I'm not giving anyone an excuse, but you kind of understand why or why it kind of happened,
Yeah,
if that makes any sense, like without me saying like, oh, it's a good reason. It's not a good reason. But I mean, there was a lot of shit going on. There was so much stress. Depression went up. I mean, I know when the quarantine started with me, my depression got a little worse because it was just working home, working home, working home. And I would drive to the office and drive back because you couldn't go anywhere else. And I didn't want to go anywhere else because I was scared. And then I remember going to my brother's house and wanting to see the kids, his girls. And I couldn't hug them. I mean, it was the most bizarre interaction because 6 feet and all that stuff. Then I get home and I just start crying. And my mom's in the kitchen. My brother's there because his wife was the one at the house, and I went to go stop by and give the kids something and say hi to them. And then my mom's like, "What's wrong with you?" I'm like, "I went to see the girls and I just wanted to hug them, but I can't." And my mom's like, "Did Beatrice not let you?" I'm like, "No, I can't, mom, go in."
Yeah.
So I got emotional and I cried, and it hurt because you couldn't be around your family the way you used to.
I saw it happening with my mom because for Mother's Day that year, normally we do something for her. We take her out to eat or we have a barbecue or something like that with my brothers. And this year, or that year rather, we couldn't do that. So my brother drove by the house with his kids. And they all had signs saying like, "Grandma, we love you," stuff like that. So my mom felt kind of, I guess, the same way that you did, because my mom's very loving of her grandkids, and just, I mean, that was a nice gesture, of course,
Yeah.
but I could tell she was emotional because she wanted to hug them and kind of, I guess, because we always have been pretty close, or she has been pretty close to them rather. She's always giving them stuff, as far as not so much material stuff, but I mean, when they come and visit, she makes dinner for them, or she makes something for them to eat, or something like that. So she's a very loving person with them, with anybody, really. My mom's pretty loving with anybody in her family. But I can understand that, and you make some great points as far as the pandemic and how people were frustrated because losing their jobs and this whole thing that nobody knows what it was, and people telling you one thing and then the news telling you another, and then your friends telling you another thing, and you have no idea who to believe, who's right and who's wrong, stuff like that. So, and then like you said, on top of that, you have to be dealing with teaching your kids and spending time with them, doing things that you're not used to doing with them, as far as schoolwork and stuff like that. But what about during regular times when you're not at home because you didn't lose your job?
So, like, if the scenario, like, you're just in a better scenario, but you still abuse your kids or your wife or your spouse, really?
Yeah, as far as the temperature having an effect on that.
I think it's still stressors. It's just different stressors. Yeah, you have a job, but are you happy at your job? Are you making enough? Are you gonna have to be late on one of your bills because you're short on some hours or you're short on whatever, or the boss didn't want to pay you? You know what I'm saying? I think there's just so many stressors around us, and a lot of people weren't given the tools to be able to deal with that. Because it's a cycle, and I think that's what it is. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think maybe a lot of people, and I don't know if it's our generation. I may be a little bit too old for this, but It seems to me that, especially because I used to work with kids at schools, so I used to be involved in education. But it seems to me like the ones that I run into every now and then, I run into some of them, by the way, at stores. Like I saw one working at a store the other day, and she gave me a discount, so thank you. I'm not gonna say her name for privacy, but thank you. I mean, this is a while back, but in case she's listening, I hope you are. But if you're not, I'm still gonna say thank you because that was pretty cool of you. But every now and then, I run into a couple of them here and there, and I talk to them, and it seems to be like, as far as stressors go, one of the most disappointing things for them as far as growing up and becoming adults, because now the kids that I taught are now adults. They're now in their 20s. It's like, man, nobody told us how life was. Nobody told us how to deal with things in life. Nobody told us that life could throw this at me. And that didn't happen for me either, because growing up, teachers tell you go to college because that's you gotta get a job and it's gonna pay you more money and this and that. And when I picked my major, psychology, I knew that I wasn't gonna be able to do much with it, but I picked it because I liked it. Now, if I get more education in the sense that if I get a master's degree or a PhD or something like that, I can teach, and that's what I want to do still. To this day, I want to go back to school and become a professor in college. But I can see what they mean because I don't know. I don't think anybody can really prepare anybody for what life has in store for them. But at least give me a warning, man. Give me some pointers here, you know?
Well, I do, like, I'm very honest with my kids. I don't sugarcoat anything because I want my kids to be fiercely independent men. I want them to be amazing men when they get up, when they grow older. And I want them to understand that shit's gonna happen, but it's gonna be okay. And only because I went through a lot growing up, and I felt, I mean, yeah, it took me a while to understand how to handle things and stuff because it was a different time. And so now it's like I want them to understand, like, well, you know, if you don't do this, then you're gonna end up, you know, getting kicked out of school or whatever have you, you know. I just like to talk to them and to inform them. They know about not getting into debt. They, if I set a budget and we'll be talking at the store and he's and my son will be like, well, this is $10. I'm like, yeah, but your budget's $8. He's like, yeah, well, then I'm gonna be in debt. I'm like, yeah, and you never want to be in debt. Like, I'm pushing that on him so much because I don't want them to get stuck in that trap. I don't want them to get stuck with student loans. I don't want them. I don't want that for them. Like, I'm doing my best to try and save as much as I can because I want them to succeed. I don't want them to start on a bad foot. And I think that's what we all ended up doing. Was we got these student loans or we got into debt because we didn't really understand the severity of it, you
Yeah,
know,
but see,
so.
it's because that's what you've been told to do throughout your entire school career. Go to college.
Yeah, just get a student loan, guys. You'll be fine. You'll pay it
Yeah.
off. No, you don't.
Oh no. No, I've known people that have been paying those things since I'm 38, so they've been paying for those loans about 20, 25 years already, and they still haven't finished paying them off, so fuck that.
My mom's still paying hers, and I mean
Wow.
she has 3 degrees, but she's, I think the last time she was in school, I was like in middle school. I mean, and she's still paying those damn student loans.
Wow.
And that's fucking, like, it sucks because of all the interest and stuff. But anyways, that's another stressor
Yeah.
that
See,
people's lives.
but these questions have to do with the movie because there's a scene in the movie, going back to just the movie just real quick, where they're talking about him being a cannibal, and he says to her, "I was a normal kid. I had friends, I had a life, but then I got caught up in all this, and now this is the kind of person that I am." So that scene in the movie I thought is pretty important, and it's got everything to do with what we're talking about right now, because any little thing can happen in your life that may just throw you completely off balance. Now, mind you, in the movie it's a very extreme case. You know, this person became a cannibal woman. But it could be something, I don't know, maybe getting a loan, for example, like you said. I was a normal person and now I have a student loan and I can't do anything because I gotta fucking pay this thing for the next 30 years.
Yeah, like that commercial. It's like I can't get a job because I don't have a car. I don't have a car because that's stupid. Oh God, I
Yeah,
hated it.
exactly. Yes. So In the movie, this guy, I guess, you know, he just accepted his fate, whatever. He found a way to deal with it. But a lot of people don't find ways to deal with their problems, and I guess that's what contributes to these increases in crime. And I totally get it. Like you said earlier, heat frustrates me to no end, and I hate summers here. I hate summers down here because it is ridiculously hot and humid, which makes it worse. So for anyone who's not from the area, picture waking up in the morning for a very comfortable 98 degrees at 7 in the morning.
Mosquitoes.
Yeah, on top of that, you step out of your house to walk to your car to go to work, and in the 20 feet that you walk, you're drenched in sweat because humidity is like 100%, and that's not a joke, mind you. And what about the people that work outdoors? I mean, I'm very lucky in the sense that I get to work
Oh my
inside the building.
gosh. I feel for them. And they're covered from head to toe.
Yeah.
They have long sleeves on and stuff because you want to protect their body from the sun, but it's bonkers. I can't imagine working outside.
No, that's and even when I go to the gym, where when I used to go to the gym rather, I haven't gone to the gym in 2 years. But sweating in the gym, I was like, I just felt all icky, and you know, and that's because I'm inside a building that's got air conditioner. You know, I'm still comfortable, quote unquote. But the point of saying all this is that I get really frustrated when it's hot. I hate it, and then by the time it's noon, it's like 110, and it's like, oh God, just like end this, please, like. So now I wanted to talk to you about one other thing before we close this off, and it's got to do with it's kind of an urban legend, and I know it's not. I mean, well, the episodes in which we talk about scary stories, that's fiction, right?
The cannibal thing?
No, like when I when the next episode, for example, we're gonna be sharing a scary story, but it's gonna be a work of fiction.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So what I'm gonna say right now, I found something on my own to contribute to this question. It's not it's a little different from what we've been talking about. It's quite different, actually. So, have you ever heard about the urban legend of Mexican tacos?
Yeah, about the dog meat?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of
And
it.
mind you, these are tacos that you buy in Mexico, not in, I mean, I hope that not in any
On the
restaurant.
street corner.
Yeah, not in any restaurant here in the United States. Hopefully not, but I mean, how will we even know, right? But anyways, I hope not. But growing up in Mexico, we always heard these urban legends about him, this guy in the taco stand. He just kills dogs in the neighborhood, man, and he's feeding them to us. And you're kind of like half joking, but then and you start wondering, like, wait, like all these people were having the same idea, so is that even true or not?
I mean, I'm sure you got to start somewhere, and sometimes you can't afford the trompo, you know?
No, now, and I say that because there was one case that I heard about in Reynosa, the city that I'm from, mind you. In Reynosa, the city had what they call a rastro, which is a slaughterhouse kind of thing. And it's not really a slaughterhouse, it's where they would take the meat that was packaged and sent to the city. And in that, it's not really, it wasn't really a plant, it was like a storage building. So let's say, for example, that the city buys so many pounds of meat, or kilos, because it's Mexico, so kilos of meat. And they process it there, you know, I guess they inspect it or whatever it is they do, and then they sent that out to the local meat shops, not the supermarkets, because supermarkets got them from somewhere else. But the mom and pop meat markets, because that's another thing about Mexico, everyone's got a store of some sort of
Oh, yeah.
in their house, mind you, like they can sell anything in their house. So mom and pop meat stores or meat markets would get the meat from the rastro, which is, you know, this plant, whatever, where they process the meat, storage unit, whatever. And I remember sometime when I was about maybe 18, 17 or 18, I think I was still in high school. Maybe a little older, but anyways, there was an article in the newspaper that said that a truck full of meat heading for that plant or that storage unit was inspected by federal health inspectors, and they concluded that the meat was made from dog.
That sucks.
So, okay, how long had this been going on? how many places received dog meat instead of cow meat? We're never going to find that out. Now, it makes me more comfortable to think that I never ate any of that, but it may very well be that I have, in fact, eaten dog meat without me knowing.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, again, I don't want to think about that, but I you know, in the topic of eating unconventional cuts of meat, that's one story that I have. And then the other thing that I wanted to share with you is that, coincidentally, before you had picked this movie, Bill,
mm-hmm.
I follow YouTubers that talk about scary stories like that, because that's, you know, even in my free time, I watch scary stories or whatever. And so that was us in Reynosa, the city that I'm from, you know, this urban legend about Dogme that actually turned out to be true, unfortunately. But in bigger cities, according to the story that I heard in this YouTube channel, there's reports that homeless people were lifted from the street for this purpose.
Wow.
And, well, the reason why people suspect that is because allegedly, people have found teeth in their tacos.
Teeth?
Teeth. People have found...
How did that happen?
Fingertips, nails, what I guess some person thought looked like an earlobe or something like that. Human teeth, human earlobes, human nails. So, some food for thought. Now, that's, I mean, of course, as far as me sharing this with you out there, I'm not saying it's a fact, but it's hearsay. But, I mean, there's been reports of people in bigger cities in Mexico that claim that they have found human remains in their food. So, I don't know how you feel about that.
I'll just be making all my food in my house, and I'll get my own cow.
I would like to believe that we're safe from that here, but I mean, I don't know. Are we?
Yeah. You never know.
So, yeah, when I heard of that story, and then maybe like the next day, that's when you picked the movie out, and I was like, wow, serendipity or synchronicity, whatever you might want to call it, you know. It was fate that we'd be talking to the audience about eating unconventional cuts of meat. I like saying that. It makes me sound pretentious and nerdy.
Yeah.
So, do we have anything more to add, Bill?
I don't think so.
If you visit Mexico, beware. What kind of meat you're getting. You never know. although right now, sadly, I don't think a lot of people will be visiting because there's a whole lot of violence going on right there. But... yeah, if you decide to go, then maybe you should order chicken. just think about it, if you will. All right, so that was our, I guess, real-life topics for this episode, Belle. And we'll be right back with our closing remarks, so stick around. Okay, Belle, so that was our episode for tonight. And I want to thank everyone that took time to listen to us. And... I hope we didn't disgust anybody out there too much with our talk of weird foods and stuff like that. And before we go, Bill, I want to give out some shout-outs. Well, like, I think it's going to be a weekly thing nowadays that we're going to have some sort of poll on Twitter and asking people their opinions on stuff like that. So, the question this week, it was kind of your idea, so... the question read... which of these meals would you order at your favorite restaurant after watching the movie Fresh? And the choices we gave you guys out there were a juicy burger, a big steak, or some loaded tacos. What would have been your choice, Belle?
I'm more of a torta person.
So let's go with burger because it's the closest thing.
Yeah.
I think I would have gone with a little tacos.
Tacos.
Because I actually, not even kidding, I got hungry after watching the movie. I watched the movie, and by the time that it ended, it was like 3 in the morning the other day, and I was like, let me get a midnight snack, I'm hungry.
I didn't get tacos, mind you. I think I got an apple or something. I don't know. Something light because it was super late in the madrugada. But yeah. Oh, actually, hang on. I need to give the results of that poll. I had completely forgotten. So the votes were as follows. The Juicy Burger received 28% of the vote. A Big Steak got 47% of the vote. And the tacos got 25% of the vote. What I thought was interesting about this bell is that burger was the lowest rated choice for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end, it came back and earned second place. So tacos was the least popular. I feel bad about that. I don't know about you.
I mean, tacos, everything falls out of them.
I guess. So next week, Bill, we're going to be doing our first interactive thing with the people on Twitter as far as having them help us choose the movie that we're going to be talking about. So what were the three choices that we were going to give them?
We're going to give them Children of the Corn, House of Wax, and Candyman, but the one from 1982.
The OG Candyman, right?
Yes.
Not the remake.
Correct.
Have you seen the remake, by the way?
Yeah, I saw it when it came out. It was interesting, but I don't even remember watching the original one, so.
Okay. I haven't seen the remake, but maybe we can do that later on. But anyways, yeah, those are going to be the choices for the people on Twitter, and we're going to be posting that maybe on, well, today is Friday, so probably on Monday we'll be asking them about, or maybe, I don't know, Sunday or Monday, we'll see. So I think, Belle, we're going to be doing this maybe once a month for the time being and seeing how people like the choices that we give them. And yeah, it's going to be really cool having you guys help us choose what movies you want to hear us talk about. And hopefully you vote and you leave your comments, because we love reading your comments. Right now, this survey that we posted didn't get any comments, and I was sad. So I always get a kick of reading the audience's comments out there. So before we leave, we need to remind them, Belle, that they can find us on social media. We have a Linktree, which is linktree.com/MythsBehindLGDS. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You can find all of those links and more in the Linktree page. So once again, that is linktree.com/MythsBehindLGDS. And we are about 9 or 10 episodes into the season, though. So mm-hmm. At 13 episodes, that is when the first season of you being the co-host of EMBL would end. And we had a discussion the other day about how we're going to be making some changes, right, after the first season with you ends?
Yes.
So how excited are we?
I'm super excited. I need to make a list.
Awesome, definitely. So we're going to be throwing ideas back and forth, and hopefully we'll be having those ready by the time the second season with Belle starts, and that's going to be in about a month or so, give or take. So sometime in May, I think. And I'm really looking forward to the ideas that we come up with, Belle. And I want to remind people to check out our YouTube channel, because we have our infamous recipes there. And Belle, can you tell us what you're going to make for this episode yet or not?
No, I can't. You must wait.
Well, by the time the people hear, they're already going to know, but you're going to leave me hanging, huh?
Yes, because I don't even know.
That's a perfect reason not to know. Okay, so do we have anything more to add before we sign off, Belle?
Nope.
All right, awesome. So once again, thanks to everyone that took time to listen to our episode. Do keep an eye on Twitter on the polls, because I want to ask you guys your opinions, and any comments that you guys leave us under, we will be reading them and giving you a shout out. So yeah, by all means, get a hold of us. Let us know if you like what we're doing with this new format. If you don't like it, that's okay. We can let us know too, and we're probably going to stick to it anyways, because we are stubborn Mexicans. But yes, that is all we have to say here tonight at Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And stay away from charming strangers in supermarkets at 2 in the morning.
Yes, please.
Stay away from people that seem too good to be true, because they're probably secretly a cannibal that's going to sell your organs to some sort of weird cult or whatever the hell. But yeah, Until we see you in the next one, have a good one.
Bye.